he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Salvation has been brought down. If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very honored and distinguished guest of the audience, and we believe that the Bible is right in the churches of Christ. Amen. And we believe it has the information we need to help us get to heaven. How many of y'all want to go to heaven? Amen. How many of y'all want to die right now and go? Say amen. Real loud. Nobody want to die right now and go? Everybody want to go to heaven, but ain't no hurry to die. Is that right? But you got to believe Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross to go to heaven. You got to obey the gospel, too, by being baptized. Like we have 11 for the last couple weeks, we've had 11 baptisms. Amen. So we got to continue to baptize many to save a few. Did y'all know that? Got to baptize many, many to save a few. Some will come, some will go. But we must do our part to ensure that they get the message that they need. John chapter 3. Hurricane relief effort has been good. Thanks to all of you who are participating. Amen. John chapter 3, continuing our study of the book of John, verse number 22, sermon title this morning, set to your seal that God is true. Verse number 22, after these things came Jesus
and his disciples into the land of Judea.
Uh-huh.
And there he tarried with them and baptized.
Now, Jesus himself is baptizing people. This is amazing to me. That if Jesus today was baptizing then, I don't understand why anyone would question baptism today. It's a crying shame that the master can do something that me and today will teach against. That's a shame. Amen. Then call themselves followers of Christ, but won't do what he's commanded. Those words that baptism was not essential never came from Jesus. At any point did he say baptism wasn't essential for salvation. Matter of fact, he said just the opposite. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, he said, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If they don't believe, don't baptize them. Won't do any good. But if they believe, the master said, baptize them. Jesus commanded it. And hundreds here, even at this congregation, we will continue to baptize and follow the example of Jesus baptizing. Amen. Verse 23.
John also was baptizing.
Now, John
and
also
Anon.
Was baptizing. John was baptizing. Jesus was baptizing. And I want the record to show that Tommy did you like John. Tommy also baptized many for the remission of their sins. I baptized thousands in the 32 years that I've been preaching. Thousands. I'm not talking about hundreds. I'm talking about thousands. And I'm going to continue to baptize folk. And the people who believe in Jesus, believe in the word of God, they will be baptized for the remission of their sins. Now, are you baptizing anybody? It's Christian. John baptized, he baptized, Jesus baptized. She said, Brother Brooks, that's are you talking about the person who gets in? No, I'm talking about people who teach the gospel and tell them they must be baptized. Amen. It ain't about who baptized, it's about did you tell the folk that baptism is essential for their salvation? And then they said John said that he was near Salem
because there was much water there.
And they came and were baptized. There's a lot of water there. There's plenty of water in the world. Matter of fact, get Acts 8:35. They don't have to worry about water. Folks, don't worry about the water. There's plenty of water in the world to baptize folks. It was plenty of water right there with John. As a matter of fact, Jesus, the Bible says that God put water in the desert. When the man was in the desert and he was seeking the truth, in John 8:35, the book says what?
Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Now watch when you preach Jesus, he says what?
And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water.
Now this man was in the desert. What's not in the desert? Water. Hard to find water in the desert. Who put that water there? God. Who will provide for the man or woman who's seeking truth? God. You don't have to worry about water. Then what the man say? See?
And the eunuch said, see,
he
here
said,
is
now
water.
He told the preacher, he said, here's some water, which means he told him that he had to be baptized in water. That's necessary inference. And that if you preach Jesus, you preach water baptism. And so here it is. He preached Jesus. He preached water baptism. And the man seen the water. They're driving around, they're riding in a chariot. And he says, see, there's the water right there.
What does hinder me to be baptized?
What's stopping you from telling me that I get what I got to do to be saved and to be baptized? And he said, the only thing stopping me is this. Read.
And Philip said, if thou believeth with all
condition,
thy heart.
This matches Mark 16, 15 and 16. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. So Philip is matching what Jesus said. Now, y'all baptize you if you believe. He said, if you believe with all of your heart that
thou
Jesus
mayest.
Christ, you can. What do you got to believe? Read on.
And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That's the confession you got to make. If a person is going to confess, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then baptize them. But if they don't believe, don't baptize them. You see what I'm saying, Brother Brooks? I'm saying you got to believe it. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, you never saw that. You never saw him hanging on the cross. The only thing you can believe from this book, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Your belief is established based on a book. This man told him about Jesus, and he said, I believe it. Is that what he said? What happened after that?
And he commanded the chariot to stand
still. So the Philip said, okay, then, because just based on your belief, we're going to stop the chariot.
And they went down both into the water.
Think about it. Now, he didn't go down and dip up no water and pour it on their head. He didn't get no water and start sprinkling on like the folk in the Methodist church. Might well call their name. Sprinkling water on them. One Methodist preacher, son, some folks don't want to call. You shouldn't call their name. That's why you need to be sitting and not preaching. Yeah, you don't need to preach. Just sit down. You don't know what you're doing. Sit down. God, you got to fight the devil with the word. Yeah, call their names. He told his son, that dog had died. Methodist preaching. Dog died. He said, son, go back there and bury that dog. He said, yes, sir, daddy. He went back there, buried the dog. Yeah, son went back there and took some dirt and sprinkled it all over top of the dog. And so a few days later, old daddy started smelling something stinky. Dog gonna start swelling up. Somebody said, son, he went back there and seen that dog laying on top of the ground with some dirt on him. He said, son, I thought I told you to bury that dog. He said, dad, just like you say at church, sprinkle, pour, immerse, it's all the same. Sprinkle, pour, bury, it's all the same. You know what I'm saying? He understood that his daddy was saying sprinkling water and burying you in the water is the same thing. Well, he proved with the dog that sprinkling and burying are two different things. You don't want to smell it? Bury it. You don't want to smell a dead sinner? Bury it. You got to bury a dead sinner in the water, and they come up for the remission of sin. That's why Philip didn't get out. He both went down into the water, and he baptized. Isn't that good? That's good. Let's go back. I just thought I'd drop that one. There's a lot of water there. There was a lot of water there. That's not what I want. Now, watch it. Now, watch this now. Now, John was not
cast into prison.
Now, it's coming a time. Some folk live in the future. But we do what we got to do right now. The day you hear a voice, harder than not your voice, now is the accepted time. John here is just doing what he's doing. John going to eventually get baptized. He's going to get killed. A head going to get cut off because of what he's preaching. Yeah. And he's going to get cast in prison. But he's not worried about prison right now. What he's doing is doing the Lord's will. And so what is this? Our future is in the hands of God. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Just do your work for the Lord right now while you're living. Amen. Look at this. Verse 25.
Then there arose question.
Now here comes some folks that's going to question John.
And the Jews about purifying.
Yeah, cleansing. That's what they mean. And they came unto John and said unto him what?
Rabbi,
yeah.
He that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him.
So here they are. These guys come to Jesus. You know, if I'm going to bring some insinuations and things of that nature, people always finding something wrong with what you're doing. Or something, they're going to raise a question about purification. And it actually, nothing but the devil working. The Jews are trying to distract John. They're going to kill Jesus eventually anyway. These guys, they had bad motives all along. That's why you got to be careful. When people in the church are always trying to raise controversial questions, you know me, I'm going to be messy. No, you don't have to be messy. You don't have to be messy. That's a decision to act up. Some people, well, you know me, that's just me. Well, just you gonna go to hell. No, no, on a serious note, you know, that just me stuff will get you your soul lost. You don't have to act up. You don't have to be controversial. You don't always have to be the one that just cut up. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you gotta stop that kind of foolishness. Amen. People can have the spirit of Christ. You can act right. These guys don't want to act right. Their motives are wrong. So, and that's something happened. Our folk motives are wrong. You know, everybody ain't trying to go to heaven. You know, they just kind of hear this is a good social gathering. You know, people come to the church building, they're in a social, and they cut up. It ain't about salvation because I ain't worried about my soul. I'm going to act like I want to act. I'm going to say what I want to say to you. I'm going to get off my mind what I need to say to you. I care nothing about your soul. It's folk like that you have to pay attention to. Amen. Amen. And also, people like that, we need to help them. And the way you help them is you tell them the truth. Amen. You're not acting like a child of God right about now. But anyway, this is some people among John and Jesus people. You know, you have those people among the church. You can't expect to come here and not have some of these kind of people in you. And so John had those kind of people around. They really, what they're really questioning is purification. They're saying, what the baptism stuff, what is this all about? And then he said, now, look, he said, there's another guy. He's baptizing, and all the men going to him, John. Why you not getting attention here? Now they're trying to make it like it's a competitive thing. See, that's when he's going to teach people, what is your motive for what you're doing? Yeah, we ain't nobody competing here. We all here to serve the Lord. Ain't nobody competing on anything. And that's what happens when it comes to preaching. Sometimes you got competitive stuff going on here. Not about who's the best, it's what we're preaching. Amen. You should be able to listen to Brother Stroger like you listen to me.
Of course.
Should be no competition. I don't care. It's the word of God. You come to hear it. It ain't the man. I mean, you know, I understand everybody can't preach it like everybody can't sing. Yeah, now if I get up there and sing and start trying to sing, you know I'm not a good song leader. I know I'm not a good song leader. So I ought to just do the best I can. You help me. You ain't got to criticize me because you know I'm. But if the song is good, sing the song. Don't worry about the man that's singing it. Is that right?
Amen.
But the man that's singing ought to be doing the best he can. Is that good? And some people are going to be good at singing. Some people are going to be good at preaching. Some people are going to be good at so it ain't not about the person. It's about what they're doing, praying or whatever. Some people are going to be not so good at praying, but they're praying. That's the important thing. Amen. What are you trying to say, Brother Brooke? See, when people's motives are wrong, these people didn't have nothing good going here. They're just really trying to question baptism. Now, what they're saying, purification, just like many people today are trying to question baptism. You know, you got every church in this on a Calvinism, and what I mean by grace doctrine preachers, what they're saying, and that's Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, Protestants, under what they call Calvinism doctrine, which is a doctrine called a Tudor principle. But, you know, and so that's just a big word. They're saying you're saved by cause of God just as long as you believe. That's all. It's false. It's false. You got to obey in order to be purified. And so they're trying to counter that. Baptism does not say. But now, John is not weak-minded. Notice what he says. John
13.
John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given from heaven. Understand. He said, let me help y'all. The man can be given nothing if it come from heaven. Then he said, you yourself bear witness that I said this.
And I am not the
Christ. I told y'all that I'm not the Christ.
But
so
that
he's
I am
counting
sent
that. Now,
before
y'all trying
him.
To compare me to him. I'm not him. Read.
But that I was sent before him.
I was sent before him. He understood he was a forerunner. Now he says this.
He that hath the bride.
The
is
one
that
hath the bride is the bridegroom.
But the friend of the bridegroom.
But the friend of the bridegroom.
Which standeth and,
which
heareth,
standeth
him,
and heareth him.
Rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice.
Now yesterday we had. And they did good. I don't know how they did that. But the bridegroom was who? Andrew. And him and his best man came. And some kind of way they did something. Oh, I got to wipe me up. Y'all seen that yesterday? And I don't know how they turned around the same. They ended up in the same spot. I thought that was pretty cool. But that was the bridegroom and the best man. And so all John doing is bringing an analogy they can understand. It's the bridegroom. And the best man. So John is, in between him and Jesus, is the best man. So Jesus is the bridegroom, and his church going to be the wife of the bridegroom. Is that good? Now, let's look at this. Let's look at this. And And I want to show y'all this in the Bible. In Revelation 19:6, everybody go over there. Now, you church crowd folks, mark this in your Bible so you can see. You can always prove that the church is the wife of Christ. I'm going to give you that information right over here. It's a good plan to highlight your Bible. Okay. 19:6. Revelation 19:6. Uh-huh. Yes, that was a beautiful wedding. I wonder why we're getting there. But Andrew who? Andrew and Deanne who? They honeymooning right about now. I hope they're in the Lord somewhere. Praise the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Somewhere worshiping. I'm sure they are. They were both very spiritual young people. Let me say something while we're going to get to that point. You hold your body. I just need to talk to our young folk. See, and some of you folk, they're shacking and stuff. Mm. Hey, yeah, you're living together. That's what they mean by shacking. That what they call it? How many of y'all shacking? Raise your hand. No. They ain't going to tell the truth right about here. Either. Ain't nobody finna say nothing, man. Yeah, now. Is some warnings. If you're a member of the Church of Christ, you ought to be marrying a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. Get that for me, son. My hip. You already know. Don't make me look like a handicap. Just do it. Yeah. I got back problems, starting to have hip problems. So I told him, don't make me look so bad. Just make me look good. Man, let me say that. The problem that when you marry outside the Lord, when you marry another person in another denomination or church, that's called unequally yoked. You see, no matter how much we want to believe it, the Baptists don't believe like Church Christ. No. Amen. You say, well, we all believe in Christ. I know that's what they want you to say. But we all believe the same about Christ. Amen. So if you're going to marry, the first test when you start the dating is how do they think spiritually? So if you do this at the first time you start to date them, how they think spiritually, then you don't fall in love with somebody who's not a spiritual thinker. Amen. See, there are so many marriages in trouble right now because you married someone outside the Lord and you can't force them to obey once you marry them. You can't force them to obey before you marry. But if they ain't on the same page when it comes to what Jesus said and what he said do, then you don't need to fall in love with that person. You say, well, Brother Burke, she sure look good. I understand. That's a lot of our people. You start calling, I'm in love. I'm running into it. I'm in love. You in lust. You know, love, I'm in love. You know, if I want you to believe I done fell in love in a month, well, you know, I know. You got all those people, well, you know, the first time I met my wife, I said she going to be my wife. I know that's what you said. That's what you said. There were some folks said that, and she wasn't their wife. They didn't make it. And so everything somebody say don't mean it's right. Amen, somebody. Is that good? So that's a good time. Now, Andrew and Deanne went to school together, college together, and then eventually they married. But they worshiped together. They worked for the Lord together. Amen. They came to marital counseling together. Some of you all married in trouble because you had no guidance spiritually. You need to have spiritual counsel before you marry anybody. Amen. And it don't cost you nothing to come up here and let Brother Brooks tell you yes or no. I'm going to tell you no. He's no good. Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, I don't marry her because she ain't spiritual. Yeah, I did that in Arkansas. I had one case. Now, I'm going to just say this too. While I'm at this, I'm going to get to my lesson here. Don't worry about that. It's a good time to talk about marriage. But I'm in Arkansas, I had two folk come in, both of them members of the Lord's church. And in my counsel, now I challenged them to ask questions. And so he got a little angry in front of me. You know, going to get up, got a ball. Yeah. I was a little bit more friskier then. I was saying, come bring it on. You know, now I can't run. I said, call the cops. What I do now? I said, call the cops. Everybody else, you help me, wouldn't you? Okay. But anyway. I know I'm going to get too much story. Let me tell my dad what happened. I'm trying to get somebody to feel sorry for me. Yeah, and I'm having a good time. I love preaching. Been at this thing 32 years. 10 years here. Good time for me to drop that on y'all. Yesterday was 10-year anniversary. We don't do anniversary. We don't do pastor anniversary. I'm not no pastor. I'm not doing it. I'm just saying I'm thankful.
Yeah. So, but in Arkansas, I was there 14 years. But here's what happened. And so I told the young lady, I said, don't marry him. He got an anger management problem. Don't marry him in front of her while he was in his mode. He said, come on, let's go. I don't care what he said. We're going to get married. And he did. Guess how long it lasted? Less than a year. Guess what happened? Physical abuse. Why? Because he had an anger management problem. It came out in counseling when I started challenging him on some things he was saying. He got mad. I said, don't do it. Young lady, to this day, neither one of them can remarry because it wasn't before a divorce. It wasn't for adultery. And some of you right now are in the situation you got yourself in. The only way to win your husband to the Lord is through a chaste conversation. You don't try to force him to obey God. You live right.
Amen.
Live right before him. You win him with your chaste conversation, what the book say. That's somewhere in your Bible. Look up chaste. You win him through living right, through your example. You can't force him. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So I was glad to see this couple do it. And so far, everybody who went through my counseling over the years, I've never had a divorce case. Which says something about premarital counseling has value. Even though they make a mistake, they understand there's a return. I always tell people this. Before you consider divorce, consider forgiveness. Because you can't go to heaven if you don't forgive them. So you just sold your soul to the devil. You divorced and gave your soul away. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to take a man who verbally abused me. You should have thought about that before you said I do. That verbal abuse is no grounds for divorce. See, Christians, I'll be real careful about who you marry because once you say I do, you're into a vow, a covenant agreement that God, between you and God, God said, hey, the only grounds for divorce is adultery. So if they commit adultery, what you do? Work on forgiveness before you pay your money for divorce. Because forgiveness is going to count in every case. The adultery is not the big one, and he lied to you, the little one. Both of them will cause you to lose your soul. If you got a lying husband, he's just as bad as an adulterer. So what you going to do when he lied to you? Forgive him. What you going to do when he cheat on you? Forgive him. Now you can forgive him if he commit adultery. And then God said you can go get a divorce if you want to. That's a little bit on marriage. But that was a good place. I found a good place to plug that. Yeah, because I know some of y'all in trouble. Let's get back to Revelation 19. I'm trying to show how Jesus had got married.
And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him.
For the marriage
of the Lamb is come.
Now, that's what John, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, take away the sins of the world. When he was looking at Jesus, called him the Lamb. Read on.
For the marriage of the Lamb is come. That,
and what's his
and
wife?
And his wife
made herself
ready.
Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. No, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband.
For the husband is the head of the wife.
Even as Christ
is the head of the church.
And he's the Savior
of the body.
The church, therefore, as the church is
subject unto Christ,
so let the wives be
unto their own husbands in everything.
Did he say husband?
Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church
and
gave himself for it.
So now, he gave himself for the church. Well, that he might present it.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of
water
by the word.
That
he might present it to himself a glorious church.
Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing,
but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Now, drop down to verse 32. Paul says this.
This is the great
mystery. Now, he said, this might sound mysterious. This is a great mystery, but what I'm talking about is the church. In that text, I'm not speaking about Deanne and Andrew.
I'm telling y'all about Christ and the church.
So he's saying Christ is the husband of the church. Now, if Christ did what he did to be the husband of one wife, you, the husband, as a spiritual man, have but one wife. Now, if your wife died, you're free to get another one. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, widows. That you can get you another. God said, get you another one. It's okay. But as long as she lives, your husband one. Why? I mean, yeah, that's good stuff. Husband Christ, wife church. Is that good? So he's saying that Christ, the church is his wife. In Christ, the church is subject below Christ. She's subject to Christ as her head. Wife is subject to husband. Subject to be protected.
Amen.
Now see, some of you career-minded women have issue with subjection and submission. And when you have issues with subjection and submission, you are carnal. Amen. Because you don't understand the spiritual analogy of marriage. Because the spiritual analogy is that you are subject, submissive to the protection of your soul by your spiritual leader. You say, well, what if he ain't a spiritual leader? I understand what you just said. Then you lead your own self spiritually. You don't let him tell you to stay home. I'm going to worship. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to give. You don't have to obey a man who tell you, don't give, don't go to worship. No. You obey God rather than man. That's where you draw the line. Submissive means I give my care of my soul to my husband. Yeah. Career-minded folk. They so sophisticated they can't get the bottom of it, the blessing of being a good wife. Missing your blessings, amen. I ain't gonna sub to no man. It's as corner minded as you can be. That's not a spiritual thought. That don't come from the mouth of a spiritual woman. Is it call a spade or what? Thank you. You corner. Let's go to Revelation 21. I'm working on it this morning. Ain't this a good lesson? How many of y'all think this is a good one? It's a good lesson? How about your sisters? Oh, Lord. Sisters think we didn't have a whole lot of amen that time. I know it more sisters than here. Some of them say, well, I don't know about all that. Let's go to Revelation 21:1. The husband is Christ, and who's the church? The wife, right? Revelation 21, when I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first heaven passed away, and there was no more sea. Watch what he said.
And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem.
She coming down from Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven.
Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared
as a bride
adorned for her husband.
So it's going to come a day when Jesus is going to come back and he's coming to get his wife. The analogy is this. He's coming to get his wife and he's going to take her to the home of the Father and there's going to be a supper there. The church is the bride of Christ. And when he come back to get his bride, he come back to get the one bride, which is known as the Church of Christ. How do you know that? But don't ever, Sister Brooks, raise your hand so I can make a point. Raise it up. Everybody look back to the back. There she is. That's my bride. Now, if I just said, Sister Brooks, raise your hand, and every woman here raise her hand, we'd all be confused. Your name is a name, you know. And Sharon back there wearing white, and I'm black, whose husband, whose wife is she? Well, I guarantee you one thing. Here's what you can know: if you don't understand Brooks, then touch her and see which Brooks responds. See if white gonna respond. White ain't gonna respond to someone who touch Brooks. Brooks gonna respond because that belongs to
Brooks.
Now, how does she, I know out of all the women here, she the one wearing my name. How do I know she the wife? Because she wear who?
Your name.
The husband's name. How you know which church? Use common sense. Christ is the head of the church. We mean he's the head of the wife. So it's the wife of Christ or the wife of Brooks, which means it's a wife of Brooks or the wife of Christ or the church of Christ. You won't miss it if you gotta like them people in the insane asylum. Their minds come and go. God made it so simple. You'll catch it coming if you miss it going. Mine come and go. This ain't hard. Nothing hard about this. The problem some of you all have in marriages is that you didn't bring God into the marriage. That's why you fighting right now. That's why he at home and you here. That's why she at home and you here. But you say, well, brother, what am I to do now? What you do now is bring God into your life. Amen. You rule out everything else. You put God first in your life. Start praying for what you want in that person and give God a chance to work with you now. You didn't give him a chance to work with you in the beginning. So now what you need to do is let him work with you now. Amen, somebody. So we're going to sing a song, Lord, I'm coming home at the end. You come home, get your life right with God, focus on living for God, giving him life, your first, giving him your best, and let God help you out with that person you're dealing with. Yeah, a lot of problems in marriages these days. Folk can't even talk to each other. Got home where people don't sleep together. Don't even sleep in the same bed. Been married 20, 30, 40 years. It ain't no health issue. Not a health issue. Ever since I've been having a problem with my back, I've been having to sleep on the couch. You know how they say bedroom? I said, mine the couch room now. Man, the couch is flat. Boy, I try to go in there and jump in there with Sharon, and I can't lay in that leg, start messing up. I jump out and go back and get on the couch. I did about 4 times last night trying to get back to that bed. Why? That's what my wife lay. Well, I won't be laying in another room and she in that room. How that, Brother Tima? Huh? That ain't no fun. At least I want to think I'm something still. Ooh, I got it going on. Some of you old men, y'all, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You want to think you got it going on. Well, I'm still a man. You know when you're on the couch, you're going to lose something. Either they put you on the couch or, yeah, health got you on the couch. Sometimes health puts you on the couch. Ain't no issues. Let me move on. He's talking about, yeah. Now, on a serious note, hey, marriage is something. We got a marriage tree coming up. Some of you all need to be going to the marriage. Amen. Marriage tree. You need to go to the marriage tree. Right? Try to get some things going back in your marriage. Come on, I'm going to get to the last part of the lesson. I got a quick bit. We got a class to go. Come on.
This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled.
Yeah.
He must increase, but I must decrease.
Yeah. We don't.
He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly.
Yeah, read on.
And speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all.
Read on.
And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth.
Yeah,
and no man receiveth his testimony.
He's giving Jesus the credit of being the one from heaven. I'm just earth. Jesus came from God. Come on.
He that hath received his testimony has set it to his seal that God is true.
That's my title right there. Set to his seal, or set to your seal that God is true. Everybody who receive and do what Jesus said, you set into your seal. Notice that for whom God has sent, speaking the
God
words.
For whom God has sent, speaketh the words of God.
So Jesus came speaking the words of God. For God giveth not,
not the Spirit by measure unto him.
He was unlimited in knowledge. He wouldn't have given no measure of information. He knew everything God the Father knew. Read on.
The Father loveth the
he
Son.
He knew Father loved the Son
and given all things into
he
his
He had all
hand.
Power at that time. He had given he that believeth on the Son
hath everlasting life.
This is the person going to be saved. And he that believeth not shall not see life. So a person who don't believe.
But the wrath of God abideth on him.
Yeah, Jesus had, you have to go to heaven. You have to believe what Jesus said. That seals it. You got to seal it. That way he said you got to seal your, the thing I'm talking about is seal. When you got a seal, it's a mark. It's an instrument to make sure I acknowledge this, that this seal is my will for my children. It's sealed. That when you sign a will or a testament for you, I'm leaving something for my children. When I can't speak myself, that's my seal. So here's what he's saying. You have to seal this thing. Know what he's talking about? He said you got to seal your belief in that Jesus, whatever Jesus said, you better do it. And so you got to seal it. Seal to you this, that God is true. Everything Jesus said was true, and he came from God. So if you don't believe what Jesus said, then you don't believe God. Get 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 9. This is where I want to be in the 5 minutes here. I'm going to close. He said, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? Greater. Come on, if you're going to listen to John, then listen to Jesus more so. Read on. Verse number 9.
Nine?
Yeah. 1 John 5:9.
If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son.
Yeah.
He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself.
Yeah.
He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar.
Because he what?
Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son.
Read on.
And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son.
And that's what Jesus said. So if you don't believe that life is in his Son, you can never go to heaven. So he said the witness was not John. The witness that we got to believe is Jesus. He's greater than John. Now, let's go to Revelation 9 and verse 3. There's two. I want to get my board up too. There are two seals I want to point out today. This first one is the seal or assurance of belief. This first one, John is talking about, you got to seal that or believe or acknowledge that God is true. In Revelation 9 and verse 3, there's another seal. And you can't have one without the other. And there came out of smoke.
And there came out of smoke locusts
upon the earth.
And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power.
Now this is symbolism. It just represents Satan and his angels. They have power. And so, but here's verse 4 is what I want. At the end of time, when the world comes to the end, he's commanded that these angels of Satan should not hurt the grass.
That's how
I know the Jehovah's Witnesses mess up. Because they say it's going to come by fire and everything will get burnt up. But he said now they can't touch the grass. Neither any green thing, neither any tree. But notice who they can touch.
But only those men which have not the seal of God, in their forehead.
So he said, so everybody who going to get touched by the devil of judgment, it'll be those who don't have the seal. There will be another number in the foreheads of those. I ain't got time to get to it. It's called 666. Because that's the number of a man. Whoever don't obey God, obey man. You got to seal this thing. The command is that they can't hurt those folks. Only those men who have not the seal. These are the men and women who didn't obey the testimony or the commands of Jesus. That's what John was saying. Those folk did not seal it. Then the second seal. So the first seal I'm talking about is belief. Number one, you got to have belief. In Jesus' words, whatever Jesus said, do it. All right, number two, Ephesians 1:13. Here's another seal. Ephesians 1:13.
In whom you also trusted.
You trusted.
After that you heard the word
of truth. You heard the word of truth.
The gospel of your
salvation. That's the gospel of your salvation.
In whom also after that ye believe.
After you seal this one.
After ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
So the Holy Spirit becomes the next seal. You got to have the seal of belief and the seal of the Holy Spirit. And all that, Jesus tell you how to do that. Jesus tell us how to get the seal. Amen. Y'all with me? Okay. Now, he said now, so what seal comes first? Belief. Jesus said, go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that seal it, he that believe it. Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He to come to God must believe. The first seal, the first thing you must seal is the seal of belief. You got to believe that God is true. Amen. Y'all got that? So when we believe God is true, we believe that God so loved the world and sinners are in the world. Sinners then got the seal. Sinners in trouble. So God so loved the world, he sends his only son. His son was Christ. Christ then dies on the cross. And he's buried. And he raised up, raised that third day. When he got up out of the grave, he said, go back into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. So you got to seal it first with belief. Then the second seal comes in baptism. Get Acts chapter 2 and the verses number 38. Baby said, Peter preached to the Jews. He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God had made that same Jesus
whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Both Lord and Christ. When they heard
this, they were pricked in their heart
and said unto Peter,
and the rest of the apostles,
men and brothers, what shall we do?
What shall we do? Unto them,
he said, what did he say unto them?
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.
So here it is. Underwater, you contact the blood of Jesus. But it's not all happening underwater. When you contact the blood of Jesus, it washes away your sins. And then you receive the gift of the what?
Gift of the Holy Ghost.
Under the water, you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, seal. First, I have to believe in something I never saw. They come from a book. Romans 10:17, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God said, there was a man named Jesus. A God so loved the world. His son comes to the world. His son lives in the world. His son is treated as a criminal. His son is beaten. His son is mocked. They spit on his son. They slapped his son. We didn't see none of this happen. They scourged him. They whipped him with a whip. They put a robe on him. Put a crown on him. Thorns on him. Marched him up a hill called Calvary. Put a cross on his back. Drove nails in his hand. Drove it in his feet. He hung between two thieves. Hung 6 hours. There he suffered. There he cried. There he was hurting. For the sinner. The sinner. I don't see none of that, but they got to believe it. Amen. Now I believe what? That as a sinner, I'm separated from God by my sins. When I seal the deal with belief, I believe he died for me. Then I believe and be baptized. And when I'm baptized, here's God in you. Baptism, simply, wash away your sins. Amen, somebody. So that's all it is. Baptism is washing away of sins, and then you seal with God. Now you have a child, you're a seal of righteousness. I ain't got time to go to that one, but the third seal is a seal of righteousness. So now the sinner has a death, a burial, and a resurrection. There he is, or she is, under the water. They get the what? The Holy Spirit. Help me out, y'all. What they get? Holy Spirit. God is a spirit. Deal a seal. You're saved. I like this boy. It look good? Got it? Let's recap. The title was what? Sealed. Have you? It's asked you a question. What? So he told, if you got to hear what Jesus said, then first thing is set your seal on that. That God is what? True. That means you believe Jesus is telling the truth. Once you got the belief seal, then you believe and be baptized to receive the seal of the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, the forehead has the Father's child in it. I ain't got time to go. That's Revelation. That's the seal in the forehead. It won't be a number. It'll be a name. Whosoever were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life has not God. So what do you want to do today? I know everybody going through some things, but you know the blessing of being a child of God? We got the seal, man. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We sealed by our belief. Just hold on to it. Believe God going to get you through your storms. Believe God can get you through your marital problem. Believe God can bail you out of anything you're in. Believe God. Believe in everything God said. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Believe in forgiveness. Believe in confession. Believe in baptism. Believe in second chances. Believe in God. Believe that you can be all you can be. Believe you can be spiritual. Believe you can be a crook, adulterer, a lying murderer like David, and yet be called a man after God's own heart. Believe it. You can be like Jonah on the run and still get it right. Believe it. Like Peter cut the man's ear off, still even able to get it right. Isn't that right? Saul was killing Christians, but he got it right. How about you? Can you get it right this morning? You say, well, what am I going to do, Brother Brooks? Well, if you're not a member of the bride, the Church of Christ, you got to hear the gospel. That's that story of the suffering on the cross. Believe that all with your heart. Seal that part. Repent. Say, I'm not leaving like I came. Confess him to be the Son of God. Be baptized. There's much water here, enough to baptize you. We got clothes. We got everything you need. You take your hair off or put something on your hair, whatever you want to do, and we put everything you look just like you did when you come back out of there. Amen, somebody. Yeah, we have to say it like that these days, but I don't care. Don't worry about your hair. Worry about your soul. Amen. Don't worry about your clothes. Worry about your soul. Amen. We'll bury you in the water. Under the water, you contact the blood. You get the Holy Spirit. You come up sealed. You say, I'm ready to walk this walk with God. Then he said, then some of you that say, I'm just coming home. I see it. I said, I'm coming home. I'm way over time. Won't y'all come? I want you to come. Those who need prayer, come. Those who need forgiveness, come. Those who need us to pray for you, come. Those who want to be baptized, you come. As together we stand and sing something.